Hello, and welcome back to How to Learn a Language, a podcast that very much does what the title suggests, teaches you how to learn a language and helps you get better at that whole process. My name is Lindsay of Lindsay Does Languages, and I am your host for this show and for this episode. And this episode, we are talking all about Duolingo. Yes, we're going to get into the most popular, famous, well-known language app out there, probably the most well-known language like thing of all of the language things in our kind of current times. And we'll get into it in just a second. But before we do, I want to share with you that if you are using Duolingo or any resource for that matter, and you want to keep track of your vocabulary nice and easily, I have a very, very handy vocab list that you can get. It's made in Notion, so it's super easy, super mobile. You can have it on the app on your phone and you can add things as you come and go. Really, really useful. You can get hold of that for free over on the blog article linked for this episode. The link is in the show notes, in the description. You'll be able to get hold of that. All right, so let's get into this then. Let's talk all about Duolingo. It's a little bit Marmite, and if you don't get that reference, let me explain. Marmite is like a really gross, I think it's called on the jar yeast extract, and people put it on toast, and in Australia, maybe New Zealand, it's called Vegemite, which is probably not the same, but very, very similar, and people either love it or hate it. Duolingo is that. Duolingo is Marmite. People either really love it and they really rate it, or they're like, oh no, Duolingo, it sucks. Oh my God, right? And it gets kind of in both directions. It can get kind of like either really like, oh, very sort of worshipy, or a little bit like snobbish and, you know, kind of really diminishing Duolingo, which, and neither of that is what I'm really here for. So I know, like, it's one or the other, but really, like, I'm kind of weirdly somewhere in the middle on this. Like, I'm not obsessed. I don't massively care about like my streak or the little gems or anything like that. But equally, I really don't hate it. It's a good resource. And so chances are that you are probably using Duolingo in some form, in some kind of capacity. And so whatever that looks like, I want to talk about some ways that you can learn a language with Duolingo and actually remember it, because that is the common thing, right? People say, oh, it doesn't really teach you to speak. Well, we'll get into how you can actually make that, make it work. So first of all, some FAQs then, if you're thinking, let's get all of these out of the way. Is Duolingo actually good? This is the endless debate, as we've seen already from just the introduction. I believe that Duolingo is a good tool for a few reasons. Number one, it's made language learning accessible. So sure, some people don't have internet or smartphone access, but as far as Duolingo can be, it is accessible. It's made accessible for many more people than most resources to come before it. And that can't be ignored. That is a great thing. The fact that language learning has become something that a lot more people can have access to. Wonderful, right? And two, it's really popular. And if we take an example of music, right, you may not enjoy or kind of get the music of someone like the Beatles or Prince or Taylor Swift, but that sort of stuff isn't popular for no reason, right? And it's the same with Duolingo. The popularity of Duolingo made language learning cool again for generations who had often been kind of scarred, perhaps, by language lessons in school. So in that sense, yes, I believe that Duolingo is good. Is it free? Yes, if you want it to be. So there is a pretty robust free version. However, you can sign up to Super Duolingo, we'll get that right, Super Duolingo, which you pay for, and you get unlimited hearts, personalized practice, unlimited legendary, and no ads. And now there's even Duolingo Max, which features all of those super features plus two AI-powered additional features, explain my answer and role play. So if you want more from Duolingo, then you can pay for it and you can get those. But the free version is very robust, and that's something I think that they're proud to continue and maintain. I'll explain this next question. When I typed in to Google, like, is Duolingo, I was curious what people search for, and this came up, and I was like, really? Okay. And the question is this: is Duolingo dangerous? Maybe you're now thinking, what? Me too. Well, it's all kind of stemming from this viral Medium post that claims that Duolingo is dangerous, right there in the headline. I mean, okay, here's the truth. When something is successful, people raise an eyebrow and get skeptical, right? And that can be a good thing. Healthy skepticism has its place. But really, to call Duolingo dangerous is kind of clickbaity, right? Let's not beat around the bush. So what it all boils down to: number one, Duolingo is not dangerous. And second, if you enjoy using Duolingo, keep using it. If you don't use it. That is the simplest way that I can explain how to decide if any resource is good for you. And if you enjoy it, do it. If you don't do it, right? It's that simple for any language learning tool, including Duolingo. Will Duolingo make you fluent? Now, this is perhaps what that "Is Duolingo Dangerous?" article on Medium was getting at. No, Duolingo won't likely make you fluent if you're using it on its own. However, when you combine it with other resources, activities, tools that work for you, then yes, Duolingo will play a part in making you fluent, just like any other resource, any other activity, any other tool. They all piece together. Not one of them is going to make you, quote unquote, fluent on their own, right? And I think that's kind of what the Medium thing that said it was dangerous was getting at, is like this idea of it's dangerous when people don't know what they're doing. And like, yeah, it's kind of patronizing, but okay. Anyway, next up, which language should I learn on Duolingo? That is 100% up to you. When you are deciding on a language to learn, whether it's Duolingo or otherwise, there are a few questions that I recommend asking yourself. Question one: which language interests you the most? So you'll likely be drawn to some languages more than others. You've really got to follow your instinct on this first and foremost, because if you're just thinking, oh, I need to add this language to the list of languages that I've studied, it's not going to work, right? Because you need that interest to sustain what you're going to be doing. Question two: how much of a challenge do you want? So sometimes you do fancy a kind of relatively quick and simple new language, and other times it's a bigger challenge you want. So there's a follow-up question here too, right? Which language or languages do you already speak, and how much will these help you learning the new one? For example, if I already know English and Danish and Norwegian, Swedish won't take me much time. But if I only speak Japanese, Swedish is going to take me a little bit more time to grasp than scenario A with our person who knows English and Norwegian and Danish, right? Equally, if I only know English and I want to learn Japanese, that's going to be more of a challenge than the Swedish in that first scenario as well. So it's worth thinking about that too, of what level of challenge are you after? And question three: what do you want to do with this language? Because if you just want a few words for travel, then Duolingo might be trying to take you a little bit deeper than you need, right? Other resources like phrasebooks might be a better bet for you in that case. If you do want to go further though, Duolingo is a really good additional resource for you alongside other things to help give you a very simple daily habit for your language. Can I use Duolingo offline? Well, sort of. It's not a great feature, and it's not a premium benefit like it used to be. There's a post from the website DuoPlanet I've linked to in the blog for this episode that explains that in a lot more depth. What other apps are like Duolingo? So no other app has all of the same features as Duolingo, but there are some great alternatives that you can try. It depends what you're after. I really like Memrise a lot for its sort of in-house courses. They include a lot of real video, really short and snappy. It's really cool. Closed Master is a great option if you're a little further on gives you, you know, full sentences with gaps to fill. And so that's kind of, that's good if you're a little further on in the language. I would say Mondly, and I never know if it's Babel or Babel. I always get it wrong. And Busuu, they all work kind of similarly. They kind of give you courses and lessons. They're kind of sort of more generic traditional format, which is fine, which is fine. And then finally, Drops is worth a mention as well for their sort of very simple but extensive vocab lists. So yeah, there are some others that maybe you want to use in addition to Duolingo. Maybe you want to use when you get to a different phase. It's all worth having a little play about. Speaking of when you get to a different phase, what should I do when I finish Duolingo? Well, yay! First of all, if you finish, amazing. I've only ever done this once with the Esperanto course, and that's when it was first released. So now I reckon if I open that up, it's going to be like, oh, you've got a whole other loads more to do. So yeah, this is a big achievement. And when you have completed, I do have a whole host of suggestions for what to do next. I've linked to that. It's in a whole separate blog. I've linked to that in the blog article for this episode. All right, so questions out of the way. We know that Duolingo is good. It's free. It's not dangerous. It won't make you fluent. You can learn whichever language that you feel good that Duolingo offers. And yeah, we've kind of covered some ground there. So let's now cover the ways that you can use Duolingo and really make the most of it for yourself. So number one, set your own streak. Now I get why apps like Duolingo have streaks. They want you to keep coming back, and the threat of breaking your streak can be a really strong motivator to get you using an app daily. Absolutely. And it can be great to get into the habit of using Duolingo daily. It can fit really well. However, depending on your personality and your approach to these things, it can also lead to feeling kind of deflated on that one day when you're super busy and you miss it, right? And then you go back and the next day it's like, oh, streak freeze. And you're like, and then you sort of womp womp, you feel a bit sorry for yourself. But it's really, really, really worth remembering that streaks do not indicate your worth as a language learner. It's far too easy to get into the motion of it, make it a habit, but not actually take anything in. And we don't want that. We want this habit to be something that is productive. So if you know that that is you, if you know that you're going to get stuck on the streak train and you're not actually going to be paying attention to what you're learning through Duolingo, then set your own streak goal. So it can look completely different. It could be one 30-minute session once a week, where it's a solid 30 minutes. It could be three times checking in weekly. It could be three times checking in daily. Whatever it is, trust that you've decided for yourself, knowing you, more than the tally that an animated owl gives you, right? You're in charge. You're in charge. Okay, number two, speak each phrase aloud. So one of the biggest things that people will say about Duolingo in an attempt to drag it down goes something like this. I use Duolingo every day for 3 years, but I still can't speak. Well, first of all, Duolingo isn't responsible for teaching you how to speak a language. You are. You're responsible for finding those opportunities when you can both be practicing solo speaking aloud and actually speaking with other humans. And using Duolingo is a great opportunity for a bit of the speaking aloud solo stuff, right? So either as phrases appear or as they're said by the app voice, say them aloud yourself too. And this means that you're instantly getting a little bit better at speaking each time that you use Duolingo. Yay, this is good, right? If you're in public, there's ways around. So you could sort of mutter under your breath or even kind of minimally move your mouth as if you're saying them, just to kind of get your mouth sort of used to that shape. And it's giving you that extra kind of physicality you're adding to the whole thing. So who knows as well, maybe just say it out loud in public. It's all good. With so many people using Duolingo and being aware of Duolingo, it could even act as a really great conversation starter. Number three, use the guidebooks. So for each unit in your Duolingo course, you'll spot a little image of a notepad on the color bar with the unit name. This is your unit guidebook. And these are handy because they share lots of the core info from each unit in one place. So, you know, sometimes, especially in the past, you would do a Duolingo lesson and then you kind of lose. You can't find what you've learned, right? There's no easy list. This gives you a bit of that. So you can use these as speaking prompts. You can make a note of them yourself or just simply take in a moment to just have a browse at the end of each unit. Number four, write everything down. So much like with bringing speaking into your Duolingo time, it's also an option to get writing too. And any chance to produce the language yourself, as well as tapping away on the app, is going to be highly beneficial. And the easiest way to use Duolingo for writing is to write down the phrases as they're shown to you. So there's various ways. You can keep a notebook where you kind of jot these down a bit scrappily, or you could jot them down neatly, up to you. Or you could save them to a digital document like a Google Sheet or the Notion vocab list template that you can get in the description of this episode. Or you could even make each phrase kind of Instagram ready, right? And just write them all out with nice writing, nice colors, whatever works for you. There are ways that you can bring in writing. Number five, make your own phrases. So we can take that writing further too. And to do this one, you don't even need to write everything that Duolingo presents, right? Maybe you just take one phrase from a lesson to do this with. And from that one phrase, think about what you can change. So write down all of the versions using the language that you know. So for example, it's, I have a dog. Well, if you know a few pet animal nouns and you know how to make a question and you know how to make a present verb negative, then you've got some different variations there, right? I have it from I have a dog from Duolingo. We've got I have a cat, I have a fish. Do you have a dog? Do you have a cat? Do you have a fish? I don't have a dog. I don't have a cat. I don't have a fish. And instantly, just with that little bit of extra knowledge that we've brought in, we've got eight new sentences just using the stuff that we already know. So that's really cool. And this is a great way to expand and really take things further than what is solely in the app. Number six, tell a story. So Duolingo isn't just for newbies. Once you've got a good grasp of the language, try putting what you learn in one lesson into one context. And we're not talking like Shakespeare standard, but this does give you a chance to get creative and to really think about what you know of the language. And again, for this idea, you can just use one phrase as a starting point if using all of them is too difficult. It really doesn't have to be all or nothing, but just thinking about how rather than just sentence, 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 you can put things into a more cohesive context, a more cohesive, interesting story. Number seven, challenge a friend. So if you know that you get stuff done well with a little external accountability, then challenge a friend on Duolingo. You can be learning the same language, you can be learning a different one, whatever, it doesn't matter. You get to decide the goal here as well. So perhaps you're challenging each other to see who gets the highest score in each week, or maybe you're both aiming for the same number of lessons, or perhaps you simply check in at the end of the week and share your written stories with each other. Whichever you choose, having someone else kind of on board with you can be a really great motivator for the right people. Number eight, learn one through another. So this is a tip from personal unexpected experience. When I decided to learn Guarani, resources were a lot sparser than when I'd learned other languages previously. However, like totally unexpectedly, there was a Duolingo course for Guarani, but it was taught through Spanish, wasn't taught through English. And for me, this worked really well. I speak Spanish, so I was able to check in with my Spanish a little bit and even learn a few new regional Spanish words along the way, like chacra, which is actually borrowed from Quechua into Spanish and means a small farm or field for growing stuff. And there's a couple of examples where you can learn one language through another on Duolingo. There's some options. You can do Catalan through Spanish too. So have a little look. The link is in the blog article. And hopefully this is something that will grow in the future as well. Number nine, take time to practice. So you probably noticed there's a little dumbbell on the screen, right? That little dumbbell is the practice tab. So take advantage of this when you're maybe not in the right headspace for a new lesson, or you simply want to review what you've learned. And this is something that Duolingo does really well compared to some other apps like Drops or Memrise that give you a number of what's up for review. And sometimes it's like, whoa, it's the most overwhelming thing. You're like, oh man, that's in 3 digits now. Oh, it's in 4 digits now. How am I ever going to review all of those words? And so you just avoid it, right? But with Duolingo, there is no little number notification on that icon for the dumbbell. So you can practice when you want to practice, not when you're pressured because that number's got way too high. So this is really, really useful. So do take advantage of that when you're feeling like you've got a little bit of extra time. Number 10, make your own grammar notes. If you're someone who likes to have your own kind of grammar reference point that you're creating in your own notebook as you go through a language, this can be really useful, right? This can work really nicely. It's just a way to help consolidate what you learn. And with Duolingo, there's not, like, there used to be like a kind of tips thing that would give you the grammar info. It's not really there as much. There's little bits you can get from the guidebook for each unit that we mentioned, and maybe it will change again in the future by the time you're listening to this. Perhaps it's a new name for this, so maybe you can still find this somewhere. But if you can't, then what you can still do is when you kind of come across a new grammar thing, right? So maybe it is, I have a dog, and then there's a question of that, do you have a dog? When you come across that structure of the question versus the regular statement, write that down and then dig in and do your own research on how that works if it's not yet clear, right? So you can take things further in terms of grammar. And remember, grammar notes, they don't always have to be written. So you could experiment with maybe recording yourself, perhaps video or audio, just explaining the rules aloud. Save those files in one place. It could be in Notion. You could add a tab to your vocab list that's linked in the show notes where you can save your grammar notes or voice notes, right? So you can easily find them again. There's loads of ways around this, but I do recommend if you want to take it further that you can, you know, you take things out of the app essentially. Number 11, use the app for hard mode. So I didn't spot this on the web, but in the app, you do see it. If you're after a challenge, do go for this. So hard mode will challenge you that a little bit further, which sometimes encourages you to pay more attention rather than just passively tapping through. Now, it only appears after you've completed a lesson to legendary status. So when you've completed something and it offers you the chance to go to legendary, then you'll see hard mode after that. Number 12, create your own dictionary. So I mentioned a couple of times already about that vocab list in Notion. Get your hands on that, because once you do, you are not going to need a massive notebook to write all of this down. You can do it in Notion and you can keep track of you creating your own Duolingo dictionary, right? So whenever you come across new words, add them to this space. And then you can even add in as much as you want here. You could add tags, you could add audio of you saying it, you could add video links to like YouTube pronunciation videos, whatever it is, you can really extend this as much as you want, or keep it as simple as you want, where maybe it's just new language, my language translation, right? It's completely up to you, but you've got that template in Notion. The link is in the show notes, in the description. And it's just gonna really help to put everything in one place for you so you can see your little dictionary. Number 13, use the leaderboards and rewards, or don't. So we've talked about streaks already and how for some people this is the holy grail, the best thing since sliced bread. And probably for like, there's like a Venn diagram, right? Of people who love that stuff, who are also gonna love this, the leaderboards and the rewards. And so for some, this is the biggest and best feature of Duolingo. The leaderboards, the rewards, the gems, that kind of mental candy that feeds the dopamine, right? They know what to do to keep you in the app. But for others, I know that the thought of the leaderboard isn't even a thought, myself included. I do keep my profile public, but if you opt out of this in your settings, then you also opt out of the leaderboards. So if you would prefer to not have that part of Duolingo be part of your experience, you can opt out of this. So you just go to settings, privacy, and then uncheck make my profile public. That's it. You'll be automatically kind of unenrolled from the public leaderboards, meaning you can just trot along at your own pace, peacefully. Sounds lovely, right? 14, test out stuff that you know. So maybe you're kind of thinking that you can't learn a language with Duolingo because you've already passed the basic stuff and you're going to get a bit bored, right? So you're too advanced, right? I know that I've felt this for some languages in the past, and I would say it was probably in kind of COVID times, being trapped at home, when I was like, okay, I'm going to use this a little bit to my advantage. So something that can be quite handy when you've done the beginner stuff elsewhere is to use the checkpoints to test out things that you already know. And I've really enjoyed doing this for stronger languages. I've even found the odd word here and there that I hadn't encountered before. So to do this, you just simply click the checkpoint for each to open up more lessons and topics below that. Number 15, check the discuss links. So as you learn a language with Duolingo, you'll make mistakes, you'll get answers wrong here and there. And if you're not using Max Duolingo or Duolingo Max, whatever it's called, with the AI stuff where it's going to give you the explain my mistake, explain my answer. If you're not using that, then there is a way that we can help to understand our own mistakes, because mistakes are good. They help us to recognize our gaps and to know what we need to work on a little bit more. So if we just kind of tap, oh, we got it wrong, and skim straight past them, we might not actually learn from our mistakes. And then we keep doing it wrong, we keep making the same mistake. So in these moments, it can be really helpful just to click the discuss button that shows when we get something wrong, and when you get a full sentence even. And this takes you to the forum post for that phrase, for that word, and you might find an explanation that you're looking for that others have previously asked about on that phrase. Unfortunately, the Duolingo forums are kind of closed now to like new stuff, but at the minute, at least at the time of recording, fingers crossed, this doesn't disappear. When you click that discuss link at the bottom, you get to see the kind of post from the forum about all of this, all archived. Number 16, tap review lesson if you're on the web version. So I can't spot this option on the app, but it is a handy feature, so I want to give it a mention. When you finish a lesson on the web version, you'll see a little grey button on the left at the bottom of the page that says review lesson. And when you click that, it brings up a pop-up box with the phrases that you've seen in that lesson, and it tells you what you got correct, what you got wrong. And so this can be a really, you know, good source of information. You can do what you like with this info. Maybe you write down the answers that you got wrong for each lesson. Maybe you just take a little look and then try to write, say, translate them from memory. Or perhaps you write the English or the language that you're learning through for each phrase to then test yourself on later that day. It's really your call, but it's just good information that you can use. Remember, you're in charge here. Number 17, create your own audio lesson. So there was a brief period of time, as is the way you've noticed probably, where Duolingo tests things out and then they remove these features. And it's a shame because some of them are really cool. And one of those was audio lessons. They had them for French and English, but they've gone now. So you'll have to get a little bit DIY and create your own. So how can we do this? First of all, do Duolingo with headphones in on a computer. Meanwhile, record yourself on your phone, repeating each phrase as they come up. Listen back to these audio clips on your phone when you're out and about or when you're busy at home and see if you can understand and translate each phrase. If you press record and you leave it recording for the whole like Duolingo lesson, you might find they're a little bit gappy, right? Where there's like a bit of space between one question, one sentence and the next. That's not a problem. You can even use a tool like CapCut to then kind of condense them into one shortened track. Number 18, use your mic for extra speaking. So we've talked about that big criticism that skeptics have of Duolingo, that it doesn't get you speaking. Well, my answer is very simple. Find opportunities to speak with Duolingo, as like use it as a springboard rather than relying on it to give you everything, you know? And so the easiest one here is to use the inbuilt microphone option on your keyboard to respond to those questions that Duolingo wants you to type. So, you know, there are some questions where it gives you like the little box and you click and it brings up your phone keyboard, right? If you're on the app, then use your microphone that's already inbuilt into the keyboard to speak your response. So of course, you do lose out a little bit on writing or typing practice, but if speaking is your focus, then this is a little way to get a little bit extra in. 19. Put it into a new context. So there's plenty of courses sharing the vocab from Duolingo courses across the web in other formats. Try Memrise for one to get you started. And there's also a way to get things onto Anki. I've linked to a way you can do that in the blog for this episode as well. But if you enjoy using a bit of a mixture of apps, learning the same thing across different contexts can be really helpful reinforcement of what you're already learning on Duolingo. It can be too easy to get comfortable with just tapping through on something like Duolingo when you've got the same interface. But would you actually recognize what you're doing if you saw it elsewhere, right? It's kind of like, I always call it Korean in the car, because I years ago wrote a blog where I was like, talking about this, about learning multiple languages. And that was the example, was like, if you only listen to your Korean lessons in the car, then you'll only speak Korean in the car. And it's an extreme example, but it is kind of getting the point across of what I want to make, that there are times when expanding where you see bits of language in different contexts can be really, really helpful. So this can be good. Another idea to take this further is to search for the phrase, probably the more kind of realistic ones, less, you know, my dog eats the pencil and more, I have a dog, in quotation marks on Google, so that you're looking for examples of the whole phrase in other contexts. And I really like to check Google News when I'm doing this for stuff, not just with, you know, Duolingo phrases, but with other bits where you see, maybe it's like prepositions, right? Where there's like a tiny little word and it's in a new context and you're like, huh, I've never seen it used that way before. If you kind of quote mark that whole phrase and check that on Google, check it on Google News, you'll see it in context across the web, which can be really, really useful. And finally, number 20, make the most of the podcast. This feels like an apt one to end on, doesn't it, for a podcast? So Duolingo has a few podcast feeds for their most studied languages, French and Spanish for English speakers, English for Spanish speakers. And if that's you, make the most of the podcast feature by checking into the web version, because as well as being able to listen on the go, when you can see the whole podcast on their web version, you'll see a transcript, which can be a really great resource as you're listening, because you can then try listening first and then reading, or reading first, then listening, or try doing both at the same time. So there's ways you can experiment with how you use that transcript. And you could also read aloud along with the language in the episodes as well, kind of shadowing what you hear. So there's a lot of ways that you can take the podcast further, maybe even writing or speaking your own thoughts on that topic when you finish listening as well. And the transcript, if you go onto the web version and see that, that's going to make this a lot easier, as it's going to give you the written vocab that you're probably going to need to talk about this topic a lot more. All right, woo, that is, we've covered a lot. I have a feeling this is going to be a slightly longer than usual episode, but I think it's good, because I know that Duolingo is just one of those things that's very, am I about to use the word ubiquitous in the right context? I Googled it. Yes, ubiquitous. Duolingo is ubiquitous. There we go, new word, woo. So if you want to very quickly and easily get all of those Duolingo words in one place, as we've mentioned in the episode, at the very start of the episode, I have a very super simple Notion template that you can duplicate, you can edit for yourself, add your new words from Duolingo as you go. All you need to do is enter your details to join my email list and it is yours for free. You can do that at the link in the description, in the show notes. And yeah, that is it for this episode. If you have any questions, do feel free to email me, lindsay@doeslanguages.com, and I'll speak to you very, very soon. Have a wonderful rest of your day and happy language learning.